Bible this morning, I want you to open to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Many of our senior citizens today are hurting. All of them physically, some of them emotionally, and a few have even dropped to a level of depression. And as Martha and I have visited our folks in the hospital and in the nursing homes, we try to encourage them in the Lord, reminding them of His great promise of a new and eternal kingdom to come, wherein there'll be no more sickness, there'll be no more suffering, there'll be no more aging, and there'll be no more death. In Revelation 21:4, God says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank You so much for these that have come this way. Father, we thank You for the choir. We thank You for the choir director, Father, and for Barbara who comes and shares with her talent with playing the piano. Father, we thank You for our Sunday school teachers. Lord, we thank You for the lesson this morning, how wonderful it was. And Father, we thank You for each one that comes this morning for the very purpose, I trust, of fellowshipping with one another in the Lord, of learning more about the Lord Jesus Christ, learning more about the kingdom of God. Father, I pray that if we've come this way for any other reason than to worship Thee, Father, that our hearts might be convicted of that, and Lord, that our hearts would be opened, our ears open to Your Word, and our hearts open to the moving of the Holy Spirit, Father, as we seek to share this morning in Your Word. Father, I ask Your blessing upon our senior citizens, Father. So many of them are hurting in so many different ways. And Lord, today, we just in a special way lift them all up to You and ask You, Father, to minister and to bless and to bring comfort and peace. And Father, for those that are depressed, Lord, the burden upon their upon their person, Father, and upon their spirit is so heavy. And yet, Lord, we come right now and we rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon each and every one of our senior citizens. Father, we look forward to that day that we're going to come home to be with You. And that's a promise that You've made to us, Father. You've not left us in darkness. You've sent Your Son to lead us to that home, Father, one day. By and by. Father, we know that even today in the Spirit, we can live in the kingdom. We are living in the kingdom of God, but one of these days, Father, You're going to bring us home to that glorious and new home in heaven. So, Father, bless Your people this morning. Bless Your speaker as we share in Your Word, Father, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. In John chapter 14, God makes a wonderful promise to each and every one of us. And Martha and I have had the wonderful opportunity of sharing, getting excited as we hear so many of our senior citizens sharing about their burdens and how wonderful it is to be able to impart to them the wonderful truth that today could be the last day that they'll ever have to suffer, that today could be the last day that they'll ever have the burden of aches and pains, because if the eastern sky splits and God sends His angels out to call His church in, why, there'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more tears. There'll be no more depression or anxiety. The Lord will go home to a wonderful homecoming. I'm looking forward to that, and I remind you of it every Sunday. I try to. God is coming to get His children. God is coming to get His church. And we need to be ready to go. Listen to what Jesus told His disciples. And He tells you this morning. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 1. God says, "Let not your heart be troubled." Oh my, isn't there reason today for having a troubled heart? My. As I just mentioned, you go to the nursing homes, you see so many people in such misery and pain and anxiety. You see minds that have gone, and the bodies are just pushing themselves around in wheelchairs, not knowing where they're at. And not only that, you come home and you turn on the TV and you see what such misery and wickedness going on in this world. Christ tells us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Let not your heart be troubled." Well, we're living in troublous times. We're living in those times that Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, "Well, Timothy, you might as well know it, that in the last days, perilous times will come." And so as we may be looking and praying that God bring our troops home and that this war in Iraq be over, I can promise you this, if we're on the verge of the rapture of the church, troublous, perilous times are not going to get, these times are not going to pass. These times are going to get worse and worse. And I'm so thankful that the church is not going to be here to go through some of the misery and the pain and the wickedness that is going to prevail even more and more upon this earth. Christ says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Amen. Many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for who? Amen. Hallelujah. That's for each and every one of those who know Him as their personal Savior. Verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. My goodness, as the apostles and the disciples had a wonderful relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew Christ, didn't they? They knew Him. They walked with Him. They saw all the wonderful miracles that He did. All the wonderful things that how He ministered and how He shared so wonderfully about the kingdom of God. And He says, listen, I go, and the way I go, you know. And yet Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whether Thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, can we read this verse together? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that there's only one way to eternal life. There's only one way. People talk about so many different ways. You hear movie stars talking all the time, being interviewed, and they're wrapped up in this particular religion or that particular religion, talking about, oh, you know, there's various ways to eternity and life celestial after death. But I tell you this, the Holy Scripture says there's only one way, and that's and Jesus Christ is that way. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Where was Jesus going? Where was he going? He was going to heaven. He was going to heaven. Turn with me to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, you'll find that book right after the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, Jesus is about to leave His disciples. And verse 6 says, and when they therefore were come together, they asked of Jesus, saying, Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Lord, are You going to set up Your kingdom now? Lord, where are You going? The kingdom that the disciples are looking for is that great kingdom that Solomon reigned over after the death of his father, King David. But David was the greatest king in the history of all Israel. He was a warrior king. David was the king that subdued practically every enemy of Israel during his rule and his reign over God's people. Yet the kingdom that Israel was looking for at that time, at the time of Christ, was a vast and marvelous kingdom of peace and joy and happiness like that over which King Solomon reigned in his early years. Only instead of having King Solomon on the throne, they wanted King David on the throne. You know, that's the kingdom that we're all looking for, isn't it? Kingdom of peace, kingdom of joy and happiness. There is a kingdom like that, and it's coming. It's coming soon. In Christ's prayer, He says, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every Saturday morning, those that come together for prayer, we close our prayer with the Lord's Prayer. And so the disciples asked Christ, Wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And verse 7 says, And He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I want you to notice the way the waves just pour out. First, they're going to be witnesses in Jerusalem, their own capital, their own home. And then as they're witnesses in their own home, then that witness is going to flow out into all Judea, and then unto all Samaria, and unto what? The uttermost part of the earth. Well, that's been accomplished today. That's going on even today. The good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, is being preached today throughout the world. In verse 9 it says, "And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight." Mind you, he is in physical form as he's rising from the earth. He's going up through the clouds, and the disciples are looking up as he is ascending into heaven. Verse 10 says, "And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven." One of these days, just as they were standing on the Mount of Olives watching Christ ascend into heaven, one of these days Christ is going to come back and he's going to sit right back down in physical form right there on the Mount of Olives. And yet, you know what? When he comes back, when the Lord Jesus comes back from heaven and he sits down, he touches the earth again, you and I, as the church of Jesus Christ, will be coming with him. We'll be coming with him. No, that's right. The rapture of the church, Jesus will descend, but he'll send out his angels and gather us all in. And then we'll go home to that wonderful homecoming supper. But then one of these days, the actual second coming of Jesus Christ will be when he comes to the earth and he puts down all the enemies of his people. Dr. Roger Campbell once reported that the preaching of heaven was a neglected subject in many churches throughout the land. The preaching of heaven was a neglected subject in many churches throughout the land. He says, "We preach about sin. We preach about salvation. We preach about hell, though it too is a subject that is neglected to a certain degree. But heaven is a subject seldom preached from the pulpit." And then the question is asked, why is that true? For one thing, the church is too comfortable right here at home. The church is too comfortable right here at home. You know, our senior citizens are anxious to go to heaven. Why is that? Why are they so anxious to go to heaven? And for the rest of us, maybe, you know, we have a little reservation. The Lord has wonderfully blessed us right here. You know, we have wonderful blessings right here. I have a home that is wonderful to go home to. I have a wife that is wonderful to come home to. I have all the necessities to meet my daily needs as I wait upon the Lord's coming. So why should I have a reservation about going home to heaven? Well, I've never been there. Never been there. I'm not hurting. I'm not suffering. My mind, sometimes, yeah, there's a question about that. But I don't have the burdens on my heart and on my life that many of our senior citizens have, do we? They want to go home. They want to go home. Margaret Lee, I just want to go home. Margaret Johnson, I just want to go home. They're ready to go home. And what a wonderful blessing for us to hear this morning that Miss Ruby Nichols went home to be with the Lord. Why do we have a reservation about going home to heaven? We're not anxious to pack up and to move to a place we've never been before. We want the blessings of God. We want the joy and the happiness and the healing and the peace. But we'd rather have it all right here in Clayton, North Carolina. I'm reminded of Lot in the midst of Sodom. Remember the story about Lot? In the midst of Sodom. Sodom was a wicked place. Immoral. Very much like our nation today. The angels came to take Lot out of the city because God was about to destroy it. And the Bible says in Genesis 19:16 that listen to this. God is about to destroy the city of Sodom. And Lot is in that city. And Lot knows. The angels came to him and said, "Lot, God's going to destroy this city." And listen to what it says. And they said, "You need to get out. You need to come. You need to get out of the city." And the Bible says, while he lingered, the men or the angels laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Think about that. The city's going to be destroyed, and Lot lingered. What was on his mind? What was Lot thinking about? Lot had treasures built up in Sodom. He wasn't quite ready to walk away from all that he had. Christ called the rich farmer, you'll remember, who had worked so hard to store up for his retirement, a fool because he had stored up treasures for a future that he had planned for that was not even going to come to pass. Because Jesus says, listen, you've stored up all this. And now you've worked hard to store it all up. Now you want to sit back and you want to relax and you just want to live the rest of your life just fat, dumb, and happy. And Christ said, thou fool. Why was he a fool? Because God was coming for him that night. God was coming for him that night. He'd worked so hard and had such plans about how he was going to live in this world for the rest of his natural life. And God says, listen, you fool, know thee not that that this night thy soul shall be required of thee. In other words, though we may talk about one day going to heaven, we may encourage others about heaven, the reality of our own personal experience is that our real treasures seem to be firmly planted right here on earth. Lot didn't want to be destroyed in the city, but even in the face of destruction, he found himself caught up in the love of material things. He was comfortable in Sodom. He was at home in Sodom. His family was in Sodom. His work was in Sodom. And it seems apparent from his meeting with the angels at the very gate of the city, he had a position of honor and respect in the very community. Listen, here's Lot who belongs to God. Here's Lot who belongs to God. He's the nephew of Abraham. And Abraham is off in the wilderness. Abraham is away from the big city. Abraham is away from all of this excitement and the bright lights and the city streets and all of that other stuff. Abraham is away in the wilderness with God. And here's Lot in the city. Do you know why the angels came to bring Lot out of the city? Because Abraham was praying. Abraham was interceding for Lot. Abraham was crying out to God on behalf of Lot. If you read Genesis chapter 18, you will see time and time and time and time again that Abraham went to God and said, listen, if you find 50 righteous people in Sodom, you'll not destroy the city. And God said, for 50 righteous, I'll not destroy the city. You remember the story. And Abraham just kept right on. How about 45, God, if you find 45? And he went on until he got God down to an agreement. If he found 10 righteous in the city, he would not destroy it. Who was Abraham thinking about? Lot. Yes, he was. He was thinking about Lot. And so he had an agreement with God. He said, God, look, and God says, look, if I find 10 righteous people in Sodom, I'll not destroy the city. But what happened? He destroyed the city. But who came out of the city? The angels brought Lot and brought his wife. They didn't add up to 10 either. God was faithful to Abraham's heart's desire. Abraham was interceding. And so here the angels came to get Lot. Lot, get out of the city because it's going to be destroyed. And Lot's looking around at his TV set, and he's looking around at his all of the material things in his house. Lot was caught up in Sodom, but the community was totally sold out to sin and immorality, completely, completely engulfed in homosexuality. And God was fed up with their wickedness, and so at the request of Abraham, the angels had come to Sodom to lead Lot and his family out. And by the way, it was by grace before total destruction came. You know, that's what Christ has come into this world for. He came into this world to tell you that there's a better world that you need to be going to, and I'm going to pave the way. I'm going to go to Calvary's cross. I'm going to die there for your sins. And so, and I will punch a hole into glory so that if you trust in me, the Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Amen. Isn't that simple? That's what Christ has done for us. He's come. He's that magnificent angel He's that magnificent angel. He's the all-powerful angel who has come to make a way for us to come out of this wicked, wicked world that's about to face God's judgment. And if you don't know Him this morning, you need to grab hold of His hand today. You don't need to wait till tomorrow, because there may not be a tomorrow. I promise you that. There may not be a tomorrow. Every day, Martha and I, every time we share with our senior citizens, we always remind them that today could be the day that God comes and takes us home, takes us all home. So we, like Lot, have found a certain comfortableness here on planet Earth, so much so that one of these days God is going to send out His angels again because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ and gather us all away to be with Him before He destroys this wayward world in which we have become so comfortable. He's going to come and carry us away. Where is He going to carry us away to? Heaven. Heaven. That's right. Heaven is a real place. Heaven is a real place. It's a place that exists up. Jesus, the Bible says, was caught up into heaven. The Bible says God looks down from heaven. Psalm 33, verses 13 through 14. Jacob, in a dream, saw the angels of heaven descending and ascending, a great ladder that came down to earth from heaven. And so heaven is a real place, and it's a place that's up. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Heaven is a prepared place. It's a place prepared by the very same one that created all things in the very beginning. If you'll turn to John chapter 1, the Gospel of John. I'm sorry, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you turn to John, look at what it says in John chapter 1. This is talking about Jesus Christ, by the way. You know, so many times we think God created the heavens and the earth, and that's true. But you know who that God was that created the heavens and the earth? Jesus. Jesus, that's right. The Son of God, second person of the Holy Trinity. In John chapter 1, look at it. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 2, "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." Verse 10, "He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He came into His own, and His own received Him not." But verse 12, what does it say? "But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." What does John 3:16 say? "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes upon Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you see how the Scriptures are just meshed together perfectly? The Creator of the universe is Jesus. And as He's created all things in the beginning, He is now preparing a new and a wonderful place for every believer. And so heaven is a prepared place. And heaven is a place where God looks down upon all the children of men. In Psalm 11:4, the Bible says, "The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. And His eyes behold the children of men." My friend, you may be one of His sons or daughters in Christ. But even if you're not one of His sons or His daughters, I'm going to tell you this. He still knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. And every day, He's sending a message to you. Come home. Come home. Receive me as your Lord and Savior. Every day. What kind of a place is heaven? It's a place of music and it's a place of singing, according to Revelation 5:9. The Bible says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." In Isaiah 55:12, the Bible says, "For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Can you imagine this? In heaven. "For you shall go out with joy and be led with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." That's Isaiah 55:12. Beautiful picture, isn't it? Beautiful picture. Turn with me to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 7. Heaven's a place of praise. Revelation chapter 7, beginning in verse 9. John says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne." Let me ask you a question. Is there just going to be 144,000 in heaven? Any Christian who has done any just surface study of the Bible will quickly let you know that the 144,000 are Hebrews, are Jews who will be sealed with the gospel of Christ in their foreheads, and they will go out into the tribulation. 12,000 from each tribe of the nation of Israel. And they'll go out into the great tribulation period, and they will literally give their lives for the testimony of the gospel of Christ. They will literally die for the gospel's sake. But listen, this multitude here that God is talking about is those that I believe that have come out of the rapture. Listen, for this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders, the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, "Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." So heaven is a place of praise. And my friend, let me tell you something. If you're burdened with trying to find some time to praise God on this earth, if it's a burden, and it is, let me tell you something. The devil makes it the hardest thing in the world for you to pray each day. For you just to take out a few moments and get alone with God, the devil will do everything in his power to rob you of those few moments. You have to be disciplined. You have to rebuke the devil and get off and take God's word. And you may open up to a passage and you may not even know what you're reading, but God honors the very fact that you open his word and you begin to read, and he'll begin to share with you, and he'll begin to minister to you. And this is a wonderful, wonderful blessing. But it's striving. You have to do it. But let me tell you something. When we come into the presence of God, our praise will just be outflowing. It'll be just natural praise to God. It won't be a burden to do that. Some people say, "Oh, I don't want to live the rest of my life in a white robe, bowed down to some deity." I tell you this. When you come into the presence of God, oh my, your heart will be so overwhelmed. Your soul will be so overwhelmed with the love and the joy and the happiness of being in the presence of Him that you will want to bow down. You'll want to worship Him and praise Him. Soul has never experienced that. Your soul may have experienced a great deal as the Holy Spirit has passed you by in a powerful way. The Holy Spirit indwells us for sure, but there's times when the Holy Spirit comes on us in power. And wonderful power. You've never experienced the moving of the Holy Spirit like you'll experience it when we come into His presence. You'll bow down and you'll praise Him. And you'll be excited and joyful. Heaven's a place of praise. And then heaven is a place of service. Look at verse 13, Revelation 7, verse 13. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." And so heaven is a place of service as well, and we'll be excited about that service. Heaven is a place of comfort. Look at verse 16. "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away" what? "All tears from their eyes." So heaven is a place of praise. It's a place of service. It's a place of comfort. And if you'll turn to Revelation chapter 14, we'll see it's a place of rest. Revelation chapter 14, verse 12 and 13. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that kept the commandments of God, or keep the commandments of God in the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are they, or blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors. And so heaven is a place of rest. And finally, in Revelation 21, heaven is a place of beauty. Heaven is a place of beauty. Revelation 21, verse 10. John says, and he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Do you remember in creation, Genesis chapter 1? Do you know the very first thing that came on the face of the earth? Remember the Bible says, and the Spirit of God moved upon the waters, and God said what? Let there be light. And there was light. That's what the Bible says, and there was light. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Did you know, where did that light come from? Did you know that the moon and the sun were not created until the fourth day? And yet there was a powerful light moving and generating new life. Where did that light come from? It's the same light that's going to be in heaven, in the New Jerusalem. Christ, He is. Verse 23 says again, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. So heaven is a real place. It's a prepared place. It's a place of worship, a place of comfort, a place of rest, and a place of beauty. And finally, it's a place where even today, you can lay up treasures. Even today, you can lay up treasures. In Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21, the Bible says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where Lot had, you know, we're not hungry for heaven today because we have probably a great deal of our treasures laid up on earth. But God says, there's an open door, and you can lay treasures up in heaven. The rich farmer, you know, he laid up treasures on earth. And God called him a fool. Because, listen, you're going to live for all eternity. I don't care whether you know Jesus Christ or you don't know Jesus Christ. You will live for all eternity. Your soul will never die. But Christ has made a way so that you, when you look to Him and you receive Him as Lord and Savior, He's going to give you a home for all eternity that's beautiful, that's a place of rest, and a place of wonderful fellowship. The devil has in store for him a place of darkness, an empty place, a place of agony and torment. Your soul could end up there. The determination comes from who you set as Lord of your life. If material things are the Lord of your life, then my friend, the end result for worshiping material things is the same place as the devil. Is that eternal judgment? But I can tell you this: the Bible says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, all these other things, will be added unto you." If we put Jesus first, God's going to take care of us, is He not? He's proven it. He's proven it. But if we become worshiping the material things and put Christ last, I can tell you this. The God you worship is the God who's going to give you the home for all eternity that you deserve. And if it's a material God, it'll be eternal judgment and eternal damnation. But if it's God the Lord and Savior, you'll have eternity in heaven. Where there's a wonderful place of fellowship and peace and joy. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and dust or rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. How can we lay up treasures in heaven? We lay treasure in heaven when we unselfishly serve the Lord Jesus Christ and we unselfishly serve one another. How much treasure have we laid up in heaven since we've come to know Christ as our Lord and Savior? And how is our service to the Lord Jesus Christ today? How is your service today? Have you laid up any treasure in heaven? Or is this world? Is this world your heaven? I tell you this, mark my words. Mark my words. I said it time and time again. One of these days, there are going to be people coming to Powhatan Church on Sunday morning, and they're going to look around, there's going to be a lot of people gone. Because God's coming for His church. Powhatan Church will still be here. And I hope that when you come on that Sunday morning after the rapture of the church, well, I hope you don't have to come. I hope you're not one that comes and tries to find some kind of peace and comfort, some kind of worship here in this sanctuary, because the Holy Spirit is not going to be here. There may be people here, but the Holy Spirit's going to be gone. And many of the people, I trust all of us, are going to be gone as well. If we've laid up treasure in heaven, and listen, if we've laid up treasure here in this material world, we may find ourselves still sitting in this pew after the rapture of the church. But the Bible says, if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. Many of us come to church and we boast about, hey, we're going to heaven because we've been in church every day. I see people wearing all kinds of attendance badges for Sunday school attendance, and yet they may not even know Jesus Christ. Christ has made it so simple. He's given you a gift. He's given you a gift. Somebody gives you a gift, you don't earn it. You don't deserve it. By grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you don't know Christ today, you need to come to this altar and give me just about 2 minutes to where I can share with you in the Word, where you can know without a doubt when you walk out that door, you're in the kingdom. God, don't worry about, I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. I'm unworthy. My life has been a mess. My life has been wrapped up in so many things. I'm telling you what, the devil is talking to you. The devil's talking to you. Everybody's life's a mess. Everybody's life is corrupted. But listen, Jesus Christ didn't ask you to clean your life up because you can't clean your life up. If you could clean your life up, He'd have never had to go to Calvary. But I can tell you what can happen. When you come to Him and you acknowledge your sin and you ask Him to come into your life, that Holy Spirit comes into your very person. And from that point on, God will walk with you and He'll help you to come out of that darkness and be able to stand in His precious light. Amen? He'll do that for you. How about you? If the rapture of the church took place today, would you still be here? I hope not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. Father, we thank You for the opportunity to fellowship in Your Word. And Father, I thank You for each one that's come this way. Lord, I pray that in a special and wonderful way, that this will be a week, Lord, when we have an opportunity as Christians, Father, to be able to give that smile, Father, and give that word of encouragement to someone who's lost and undone without You. Father, someone who's all wrapped up in the misery and the darkness and the despair of this world. Father, this world is passing away. Help us to realize that we need to grab hold of Christ's hand soon. Just like Peter, as he was walking on the sea. Father, he was walking on the sea as he had his eyes fixed on You. But soon as he saw the storm, he began to sink. Oh, Father, there's so many people sinking in this world today. Help us to be an extended arm of the Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to those people, Father, with the good news of Jesus Christ, that they don't have to sink, that only the devil convinces them that they're sinking. They can come up and they can walk on that water, Father, and they can come to You. Father, I ask Your blessing. We rebuke the devil in Jesus' name. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ upon each one here this morning, and we pray that the Holy Spirit would move richly. Bless, Father, in Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.